So howdy, it's actually still Labor Day. I'm actually feeling kind of weird. I don't know. There are these thoughts I have about the week ahead. Like, could it be just a crazy week? I don't know. Sometimes when I walk around these streets and I think there's this level of crazy that you could just jump up out of nowhere, and then I hear some people screaming in the night, and I know, yeah, it's just out there, it's not far away. There's anxiety, there's depression, there's every aspect of that Kubler-Ross thing, but nobody finds a way to acceptance. I used to think I found a way to acceptance, but I think I've come to accept that that's probably not true either. I don't know if I accept it yet. I'm still, I guess, like most people, sort of running vainly towards something we want to call the American dream. And I'm convinced somewhere off in the distance it is, somewhere beyond a mountain range, somewhere. And it's not that things are terrible. This is if you want to think about it from my perspective, this is almost the, oh, it's hard to explain. This is the perversity of it. That whatever I may think about my current status in terms of the fact that, yeah, I pay $1,000 a month for a micro studio in Little Saigon, and it's fine. But I probably live better than most of the world. No, I don't have air conditioning, but I live in Seattle, so do I really need it? I don't know. I have a heater, that's fine. They give me internet. That's pretty cool. Anyways, it's a good place. It's a good place. Good people, decent people. It's a good place to live. So you can't take that for granted. I mean, there are lots of places in the world where people live and they don't live in a very good place. And I'm not saying that Little Saigon doesn't have issues. Parts of Seattle, lots of parts of Seattle have problems with homeless people, problems with other things. It happens. It's part of. It's the urban situation. What are we going to call it? The urban situation. But if you put that all together, I still live better than most of the people on planet Earth. And that's the thing you have to keep reminding yourself, that no matter how down on your luck you are, you're still probably living better than most people on planet Earth. I remember this story, and I don't know if this is true. This could be apocryphal. It could be an apocryphal story. And when I say apocryphal, that means a story that might not actually be true, is more of just part of a mythology of something, part of a fake history. So it could be apocryphal. But I heard a story once that after Pearl Harbor, after the United States and the Soviet Union decided to joined forces, Stalin decided he wanted to allow some American movies to be shown in the Soviet Union, and he had his people, research it. They couldn't like make America look too good, so they had to make America look bad. And so they showed him The Grapes of Wrath, and he watches the movie and he says to himself, says afterwards, "No, no, no, this won't do." And it's like, why? Well, because if people at the lowest state of their situation were still riding around in vehicles, that was still something better than the worst situation for a Russian. Because here's the thing, he remembers the Civil War. During that period, there was mass starvation, there was cannibalism. It got really bad in the 20s in Russia. So, yeah, and it's not like it got better under Stalin. I mean, yeah, that's a whole nother horrible story. So, no. Anyways, I'm not sure where I was going with this exactly. The more of the conversation, I had this one thought about a year ago about what it was like to live today. And sometimes I feel like, personally, I feel like a goldfish or some type of an animal in a cage, but basically a goldfish. I have this kind of reality. It's more or less, it keeps me alive. I participate with it and it continues to participate with me. And I assume when I die, someone cleans out the tank. I mean, that's kind of it's how my reality is beginning to seem. You know, on one hand, it is absolutely the case that I believe in God. That is absolutely true. But on the other hand, it feels like there's this reality that's being poured onto the world that is totally disconnected from anything spiritual, but is all about control. And I can imagine, I mean, people say, you know, people joke. They say things like, well, they'll never have a mark of the beast. But really, we're not that far from involuntarily sort of marking people. It's probably not that far away. In fact, it may be just one horrible, contrived, real, I don't know what it'll be, false flag or real, but some event that will be so horrible will say, oh, this was so horrible, now we have to make America even more horrible again. So yeah, it could happen. It could happen. But more and more right now, I just feel like I'm in a kind of a, you know, an aquarium. I'm like a fish. I swim around. I have enough space to swim, and they let me swim. And if I swim too far, you know, more or less the tank keeps me in. I mean, you know, I kind of tried to swim outside the tank the last couple of years. I really did. I screwed up a lot, but I tried to swim outside the tank, and no, there's no swimming outside the tank. I mean, it just kind of keeps you in. It's like all it takes is one experience with the thing, the structure, and it reminds you of a couple facts. One, working in the system in a good job keeps you at a certain level of, you know, pleasure, goods, and services. You know, decent housing, decent access to entertainment, okay food. I mean, it still does buy you something. And it's not, if life is now that, mostly, it's not so much building families, but mostly about just, I don't know, being instantly happy, then that's what life is. But if life is more than that, yeah, it's very expensive. It's very expensive, but you know, not impossible. It just means giving up stuff. And a lot of people don't want to. And if I'm honest, I think sometimes maybe I don't want to either. I kind of want it both ways, like it used to be. Or at least it seemed like it used to be, and that was probably a lie too. But that's the thing, is that in the aquarium, how do you know what is true? How do you know what the outside is? And I want to apologize. If I know that other writers have used the concept of the aquarium before, so I want to apologize up front. I'm not trying to steal. It's just that I think it's a common enough thing that it won't be considered theft. But yeah, I feel like that. I feel like I'm trapped in the aquarium. So it's like a question of where are the boundaries? And I think I've found the boundaries, more or less. I think I have. I really don't know. I think we also live in a world of shifting boundaries. So it's a question of where those boundaries really are. I really don't know. It's, you know, it's one of those things you think about when you walk down the street. You look around and you see there's a lot of sadness, a lot of homelessness, a lot of cruelty, a lot of this sort of general hopelessness for people. And then a lot of people walk around oblivious, you know, staring at their glowing rectangles. And it's just, you're sort of trapped and you're sort of saying to yourself, how will this ever get better? Because people are just trapped in this kind of virtual reality. They don't see the homelessness, and when they do, they see it through the lens of whatever app they're looking at, you know. I think that if the Seattle Times tells them that there's a certain perspective they should see it through, that's how they see it, that's the lens. I don't know. Maybe that's too ridiculous. I just don't know. I do think that that kind of experience is not uncommon. Is it crazy? I don't know. Could be crazy. There are some people who would say that it's kind of crazy to see the world this way, to see it like as a fake thing. But also much of metaphysics and philosophy has been about that. You can go back to very ancient times. In fact, one of the first questions that any conscious being sort of asks is, what is reality? So if anything, I'm simply doing what we're supposed to do. The problem is, I'm not sure people ask this question any longer. They take what comes out of the device and say, that must be true, because why would people lie to me? And that is the question That is the horrible question that nobody wants to answer. No fish, no goldfish in the aquarium, no goldfish in the bowl wants to answer that question or even confront it. Why would they lie to me? Because if you ask the question, why would they lie to me? Why would they do this? You're sort of left with some fairly terrible outcomes in a lot of cases. It's like, yeah, there are some real reasons why they're lying to you. Like, for example, sorry about that. I had to get some water. I was like, my throat was really dry and I was kind of misinterpreting that as something else. But yeah, how do you think about the world outside of yourself, outside of your perception? Is there such a thing? And if it is just perception, where do you put the credit? Like, where do you put the importance? Do you put it in the world you see with your eyes or the world you see through a computer? And again, I don't think there's a simple yes or no answer. It's like, it's sort of like when the telephone came along. It was a communication device. It was an amazing one. It changed the world. And the internet's the same. It changed the world. It more or less allowed for a kind of almost democratization of information in a way that no printing press ever was capable, because it essentially reduced the cost to such a low level. The internet, the World Wide Web, all the innovations, it was amazing. But by the same token, there's this other side. And this other side is, well, for example, you know, the backbone to our internet for a very long time, I don't know if it's still true, was DARPANET, or the defense internet. And the defense internet was where it started in the United States. That kind of gave birth to the internet. That was all about networking computers at universities that were doing, you know, top secret government projects. It was about the military. So a lot of the things we think about in terms of this can be, yeah, you know, where do you find the truth? If you're going through the internet, what is true? You know, we know that the NSA spies on people. They do it to fight terrorists. I know that I am not a terrorist, but that doesn't mean they won't say, oh, Dan might be bad. Why would I be bad? I have no idea. I mean, I suppose I'm like some people. I'm not perfect. But we're beginning to enter a period of time where ordinary everyday people could be considered dangerous. And it's like, that is the question. What do you do in a society like that where you're confronting people and saying, well, Dan, what is true? Well, guess what? I'm fairly certain that war is wrong in almost every case. So if we're fighting these wars, we better be very certain that we have some moral high ground, because if it is only to try to replicate a McDonald's reality, suburbia in other countries, then it's not a justification. It's not right. So that's the thing. In confronting these questions of what that aquarium is, what that barrier is, and theories. Like, me personally, here's my crazy theory, and this is how I kind of allow myself to understand people like the John McCains of the world, for example, who probably know the truth. He must have known the truth. I personally think that probably in the 1960s, most of the intelligent people on planet Earth knew that Hubbert was right, that peak oil was real, and that because of peak oil, you know, even if there was going to be a second wave, it would be very expensive, and it would really be the final party. And I think they all knew that this was basically going to be it, that there was going to be about another 50 years of extremely cheap fossil fuel energy. And then it was going to be kind of very, very, it was going to be very difficult in terms of, you know, number of people vis-a-vis, you know, number of easy to access BTUs, if I can put it in those terms. So it's possible that in the late 60s, early, and definitely by the early 70s, that the smart people kind of knew, hey, oil probably doesn't get produced infinitely. It's probably not abiotic. And because it probably has a very low frequency cycle of production, we might as well consider it something that just can be depleted, which means once it's gone, it's gone. For all practical purposes, it doesn't matter if there might be more oil again in 10 million years. It's just irrelevant to us, you know, right now, unless we want to build time tunnels and then, you know, pump the oil from the future. But unless we're going to be doing that, yeah, it's kind of irrelevant, I think. And I hope people know that was a joke. I am not proposing we drill for oil in the future. That's just the of all the monstrous forms of thinking that comes out of my crazy brain, that one scares me the most. No. We ought not to drill for oil in the future. It would cause all sorts of quasi-temporal anomalies and really, really terrible fanfic, and just don't do it. Don't drill for oil in the future. Anyways, yeah, that was crazy. I don't know. I guess it's one of those senses of ennui I'm stuck with. If I am stuck inside of an aquarium, what do I know is on the outside? If I think that they think that's the future, that's reality, then it tells me what they're going to do. They're going to make all the weird decisions they made, including all these stupid wars that are really about creating functional empires over the last remaining bits and pieces of fossil fuels. And that's it. It's about natural gas, it's about oil, it's about coal, it's about all the above. It's about every form of energy that they think that they can access, because that's it. That's game over. If you cannot deliver the energy, it is game over for your society, period. People don't want to understand that at this point. I feel sorry for them because it's going to be really scary really fast if they don't realize it. But yeah, you can have all the Bitcoin in the world, but if you don't have the energy, it doesn't really matter. So it is about energy, and we do have some very strange situations. Now, I know there are optimists, and I want to give credit to optimists because I love optimists. Optimists are people who gave us the airplane. They gave us the personal computer. So I want to give credit to optimists, but there are optimists who believe in things like free energy or easy to access hydrogen and oxygen from water technologies, where you can basically convert water to energy. And I know there are people who believe this, and I don't want to rain on their parade. I think that maybe that's really wishful thinking for all sorts of reasons. But that's just my opinion. I kind of hope they're right. I actually kind of hope that some sort of quasi, maybe not free energy, but some sort of very efficient, clean kind of energy can be discovered, or maybe has been hidden. I know part of those crazy conspiracies of people is that these things are hidden on purpose. And again, if I allow myself to believe stuff like that, it's kind of crazy. It's sort of what don't you believe at that point? Oh my God. That's the worst conspiracy of all, this idea. Well, maybe not the worst, but it's one of the worst. Let's just say it's one of the worst. One of the most horrible conspiracies of all is this notion that the government squashes technology on purpose, that basically there are revolutionary technologies that could help people save their lives, change the world, but the government basically sits on them. It would be, if that was ever proven to be true in public, it would be really horrible because that really did damage people's lives on a very deep level, if that was true. On and it's not, and I just don't mean in terms of the stuff. I mean in terms of the creator, like the actual inventor. That damaged people's lives. That was horrible. So that's the thing about this aquarium. I don't know. I know I'm a fish. I know I swim. I'll keep swimming. You guys keep swimming too. Eventually we'll find a way through, but I just think we'll find more poo. And that's all I got to say on this Labor Day 2018, at least for until the next one. Bye.